Welcome to the Personal Financial Planning Section podcast, delivering insights from experts on tax, retirement, estate, risk management, investment planning, and practice management, designed to help you best serve your clients and take your practice to the next level. I'm your PFP section host, Sarah Bradley. Be sure to visit us at aicpa.org/PFP and stay tuned at the end of the episode for information on how to access valuable resources. And now over to our guest.
Thank you, Sarah. This is Bob Keebler, and I'm here to talk about the new clawback regulations. Many of us are aware that on a non-inflation adjusted basis, today we have a $10 million exemption using 2011 dollars. Currently, with inflation, that's for 2019, 11.4, and for 2020, it will go up to $11,580,000. Now, this higher exemption does sunset on December 31st, 2025. So put 2025 in the back of your mind. Now, it could change earlier because we have a new president, and that could be in either 2022 or 2026 that drives that, or we simply will sunset by January 1st, 2026. That's what we have. So the question is, if you've made large gifts along the way, does that come out of your base exclusion amount, the $5 million exclusion amount we had on January 1st, 2011, or does it come out of the supplemental exclusion amount, the part of the exclusion amount that came from the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act? So in your left hand, you have your original $5 million. In your right hand, you have your new $5 million. We're going to call those the base exemption and the supplemental exemption or enhanced exemption. So the new clawback regulations came on November 26, 2019, and they discussed the role of basically the increased BIA, a special BIA gift tax rule, the whole concept that we're calling use it or lose it, and then the DSU carryover rule. That was primarily the things that were covered. Now, of course, the applicable exemption amount is the sum of the basic exclusion amount, the BIA, and DSU. Okay, so it's your spouse's BIA plus whatever DSU you left he or she when you died. DSU is the amount that would transfer from me to my wife if I were to die. Now, that's provided you do a 706 for our family or for my estate. Now, the basic exclusion amount is that $10 million inflation-adjusted amount. And the important concept here is we have our base BIA and our supplemental or enhanced BIA or increased BIA, they call it in the regs. And that came about as part of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Now, this is all just a little bit of background that's going to help you. Now, they do cover, you should read it with your own eyes, but they do cover a little bit on the GST tax in these regulations, but keep in mind, these are regulations dealing with the gift tax and estate tax, more importantly, the estate tax exclusions or exemptions. They do not directly deal with the generation skipping transfer tax. So they inferred some things, but they didn't come right out and say them. Now, there are four examples in these rules. The first example, example one, I'm going to read this to you and we'll go through it and try to understand it. Individual makes cumulative gifts of $9 million. All of which are sheltered from the gift tax by the $11,400,000 basic exclusion amount. At the individual's death, his basic exclusion amount is $6,800,000. The credit against the estate tax is going to be based upon the $9 million that he or she gave away. In this case, $2.4 million of exemption is lost. What I found very curious about this is the service undoubtedly did not include inflation from the date of the gift to the date of death. Maybe the assumption was they were the same year, but the numbers do not appear like that. And that's something that hopefully the Tax Resource Panel eventually shed some light on for everybody at the AICPA. So what did we learn here? We learned that the BIA, the base BIA, is used before the increased BIA. We also cover the concept of use it or lose it. We also, in this example, it appears that inflation after the large gift seems to be lost when prior gifts exceed the nubia after a sunset. Now, example two, individual makes a cumulative gift of $4 million, all of which is sheltered from the gift tax by the $11,400,000 exclusion. And then in this case, at the individual's death, the exemption is $6.8 million. Again, the credit against the exemption is based on $6.8 million. The doubled exemption appears to be lost. So the doubled exemption appears to be lost. So what did we learn from example two? We learned that the base BIA is used before the increased BIA. We confirmed that use it or lose it is a real thing. And remember, the adjusted taxable gifts are going to be included in the gross estate when the estate tax is computed. So that was example two. Example three, this is a little trickier. Spouse dies before 2026 and elects portability when the BIA is $11,400,000. So let's just pick on the gentleman. He dies, he leaves a DSU amount of $11,400,000 to his wife. The first to die spouse made no taxable gifts and did not have a taxable estate. The surviving spouse makes no taxable gifts and does not remarry prior to dying when the BIA is only $6,800,000. What they confirmed here is the credit against the estate tax is $18,200,000, which is your $11,400,000 plus the $6.8. Keep in mind the DSU is frozen in time from the day you die. It's not subsequently adjusted for inflation. And again, the important things here are the DSU is not lost or adjusted at sunset. DSU is not inflation adjusted. The credit is based on the BIA plus the DSU. And you have to ask yourself a question, would funding the bypass trust have worked better? That's a reasonable question. Example four, a little trickier. Spouse dies before 2026 and elects portability when the BIA is $11,400,000. The first to die spouse made no taxable gifts and did not have a taxable estate. The surviving spouse makes a gift of $14 million. DSU is used first, and then the surviving spouse does not remarry prior to dying when the BIA is $6,800,000. So the credit against the estate tax is going to be based upon the $11,400,000 plus the $6,800,000. And the $14 million gift is includable in the person's estate. In this case, the deceased spouse's exemption is preserved, but the surviving spouse's doubled exemption is lost. And again, we want to confirm, and this example confirms it, gifts are first source out of DSU, and then there's a special testing of the credit, and that's explained in the regulations. We have covered a lot of ground in a short podcast. Hopefully this gives you some insight as to where we're going with this, where the regulations are taking us. But more importantly, continue to emphasize with your clients is we are in a use it or lose it situation. Sunset is a fact of the law. It's just something, it's part of the law. It's not something that's going to happen based upon what Congress does, but it's part of the fabric of the law. And we want to make sure our clients know that. And if you tell me this, if you as my CPA tell me in January or February of 2020 that you might be asking me to make some large gifts in November or December, I have a lot of time to think about that and absorb that and determine what's the best thing to do. On the other hand, if you come to me right after the election and say, there's been this big blue wave, we need to do things, it might be too fast for me. It might not be enough time to process that I'm about to give away a lifetime of hard work. So be good to your clients, talk to them about this now, and start that process. Now, for many clients, what we're doing is we're working very closely with their lawyers to actually put together these trusts now and to draft the deeds of gift, to draft the overflow documents, but to make sure that in November, December, we will be able to get the job done. Because the fear of any reasonable person is the realization that there simply are not enough lawyers that draft these trusts and CPAs that work on these projects and valuation experts to take care of everyone that's going to have to be taken care of from the election to the end of 2020. On behalf of the PFP section, this has been Bob Keebler. If you enjoyed this podcast, we highly encourage you to visit the PFP section website and access additional information. Stay tuned for Sarah Bradley, who will tell you how to find these valuable resources. Thank you for listening.
And thank you for sharing with our community of listeners. Want more information, resources, tools, and guidance on technical and practice management topics? Visit aicpa.org/PFP and check out the show notes for this episode as well. So if you're not already a member, think about joining the PFP section, which is designed to save you time, help you best serve your clients, and take your financial planning practice to the next level. You'll gain access to a robust selection of high-quality technical and practice management resources like guides, 24/7 access to an online learning library, client communication and education tools, up to 8 hours of free CPE, and more. Don't forget to leave us a review so we can continue bringing valuable and relevant content. And subscribe to our podcast channel so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to next time.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.